No, I listen to it all the time. I tell all my friends to smack it raw.
Podcast contains mature content. The views and opinions expressed by the host are not necessarily those of the host. Listener discretion is advised. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Smackin' Raw Podcast, episode 219. I am your host, the patron saint of podcasting, the warden Matt Ritter. And guess who's back after another 2-week hiatus? None other than Daddy Delgado himself, the Pornhub Poppy. Vince, how's it going?
That is home, Matt. That is home. It's been like, 1 week, though. It's been 1 week.
Actually, it's been 2 weeks, because 2 weeks ago, it was me and Katie, and last week, it was me and Katie and Warren.
No. 3 weeks ago, it was you and Katie. Then we did Marks with Mikes together, all four of us, on a random-ass Saturday, because we couldn't get things going. And then it was the Warren episode.
You're gone so much, it gets very confusing.
I understand.
If I can get you here for like 4 weeks in a row,
I did. Awesome. I was here for 4 weeks in a row.
And then you got off probation. You said, fuck it, I got a girlfriend now, and just disappeared.
You know what? You know, I'm guilty as charged, I guess.
Yeah, I guess you're guilty as charged. So, first and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, you can see on Vince's chest, there are those beautiful Black Lives Matter hoodies. As you know, if you listen to this podcast, go to my pinned tweet at Matt Ritter. That is at MATTRIDDER. And you guys can find the link to What a Maneuver, where you guys can get those shirts. If you're not as internet savvy as some people I know that I'm not going to point fingers at or name names of, there's a thing that says select style, and it allows you to change from t-shirt to hoodie to tank top, whatever style of shirt you would like. So if you're looking to get it in something other than a t-shirt, it's the same link. Same link, just change the style. Then you can get that in whatever you want. There's also pink ones out for Black Lives Matter, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So if you want to, you know, donate some money towards breast cancer awareness, go pick up one of those as well. And of course, if the demand is high enough and you guys get out there, you let TC know, we can get those black and red ones out to the masses. So please go check that out. Vince, a little bit of news and rumors. You ready?
Ready. Let's do it.
All right, so you heard about Ring of Honor?
Yeah, I heard how St. Clair decided we're going to bag WOW Women's Wrestling and racist Tessa Blanchard instead of Ring of Honor. That's what I heard. Tessa Blanchard basically put Ring of Honor out of business. That's what Twitter would have you believe.
I was going to say Twitter would have you believe Tessa Blanchard put Ring of Honor out of business, WWE put Ring of Honor out of business, AEW put Ring of Honor out of business. Fact of the matter is, I was listening to our last guest host from last week, Mr. Warren Hayes, and I kind of agree with him that COVID kind of did them in. They tried to do the noble thing and keep all of their wrestlers under contract during COVID, and doing that, not releasing anyone and then not making any money, kind of did them in and caused some issues. So we don't know if they're gone. We do know that they are trying to sell their video library, and they're releasing all the wrestlers from their contracts, or contracts are being released at the end of the year. There is, I believe, one more show, Final Battle, coming up, but other than that, they're allowing everyone to go work other places and trying to help them find other jobs. So it doesn't look good, but they did say that they're gonna take this time to reevaluate and come back in April of next year. So yeah, that's a thing. A lot of my favorite wrestlers came from Ring of Honor, but I never actually watched the product. So
yeah, I think I only was really watching Ring of Honor for like half a year, and that was about like when the peak of the Bullet Club was happening, and they were jumping between New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor and just going all over the place. That's mostly when that whole fandom for me was happening, when you know, Cody Rhodes is actually liked by people.
Oh, how he has fallen. Speaking of fallen, Charlotte Flair controversy. So we talked last week about what happened with the title exchange, and then a little more information has come out. So basically, Charlotte was pulled from media. There are rumors that Becky had a dark match. Charlotte was asked to leave. She walked out without talking to Vince. Vince was pissed off. And also we found out that it sounded like Charlotte offered to drop the title to Bianca Belair the Monday before, and WWE didn't go with that idea. And as I said on Twitter, and I will repeat, if WWE had just listened to me and honored the fucking brand split, none of this shit would have happened. But neither here nor there.
You digress.
I digress. She was back out on SmackDown, which we'll talk about, starting a new feud and doing some interesting things. So we'll see. But, you know, a lot going on. Apparently, she went down to AEW directly after that show and then took pictures of herself and AEW hat on Instagram with Andrade. Andrade had some not very nice things to say about WWE and Becky Lynch on Twitter. It was a whole thing.
The little like wink, wink, jab, jab during Charlotte's promo too, just like added fuel to the fire tonight on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So, I like it. I'm all about the messiness.
Well, we'll talk about that when we get to that. Last but not least, we were crowned, the five people that watched it, new Impact Women's or Knockouts Tag Team Champions in the Inspiration.
Yes.
Jesse McKay and Cassie Lee, formerly known as the Iconics. Love to see that for them. And Mickey James defeated Deonna Purrazzo to become Women's Knockout Champion as well. So that's pretty fucking cool. Like, it was a big week for women this week. So since we don't cover that, I just wanted to shout that out real quick. All right, Vinny, where do you want to start? Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Rampage, or AEW Dynamite?
Interesting. I think I'd like to, you know, given that we're in the spirit of things, you know, like Halloween's right around the corner, let's go with the Halloween themed show and start things off with NXT Halloween Havoc.
All right. NXT Halloween Havoc. Ladies and gentlemen, Chucky was basically the host of this show, despite what they told you about LA Knight and Waller. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that in a second. It was motherfucking Chucky, my boy right back there hosting the show, doing the damn thing. We kick it off. Scareway to Hell match. Couple of missed spots, some really insane car crash, like cringeworthy. Oh my God, is she dead spots on the ladders?
Yeah.
But in the end, new NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, Toxic Attraction, Gigi Dolin, and JC Jane. We also have Mello and Trick in the haunted house. We got Trick wanting to drive the getaway car and send in Mello alone, but he's like, no, you got to come with me. Johnny said he home alone the shit out of the house with the zombie ref. While they're going through this haunted house trying to find the North American title, they stumble upon Andre Chase, who says he brought his students in and now they're missing. He kind of guides them through and then gets eaten by zombies. Trick and Mello get split up. Trick ends up slapping Mello when they reunite. Gargano and Loomis attack them, but Trick Mello ends up escaping with the North American title. Whole thing for me was fun as shit and definitely, definitely worth checking out. Not, I wouldn't say it's as good as the last. Well, we'll get into it. We'll get in more detail. Grayson Waller comes in. He's the stand-in host, which was awful because he was awful. He was talking about hot women in tiny costumes. He was dressed as Dracula. And then I'm like, where the fuck is LA Knight? Like, at this point, I actually wanted LA Knight and he wasn't there. And then Joanne Gacy interrupts him to shame people about who celebrate Halloween. Then he's got a match. He defeats Malik Blade. Harlan arrives on security cam and then interferes, but there was no DQ, which was weird. Like, he grabbed Joanne Gacy's opponent, but the ref didn't. Whatever. We go backstage. There's a Halloween party going on. Waller pisses off Jiro and Kushida. Grimes runs off the girls. Waller didn't really have any game either. Lash shows up, tells my boy Tony D'Angelo he is getting on Lashing Out, and he better not blow it. That is what she told him. The man has earned it. And then a Robert Stone dressed as Elvis also gets put through a table. Just dumb, fun backstage shit that happened throughout the night. Diamond Mind has a Pick Your Poison Invitational, and Malcolm Bivens runs down all of the members of Diamond Mind you can fight. But Odyssey Jones comes out. He wants Strong. They tell Jones, listen, this isn't going to be for the Cruiserweight title because you clearly weigh more than 205. So it was just a regular match. Strong gets the win. Imperium interview, and we get fucking subtitles finally, ladies and gentlemen. Like, how long have we waited for foreign speaking wrestlers to be able to speak their language and them give us subtitles? So we got fucking subtitles. It was fantastic.
Well, never mind. I'll dive into it like once we get into more details. Continue with the rundown. Sorry.
Mandy defeats Giant Gonzalez, becoming your new NXT Women's Champion, and a hell of a match. It's a Chucky's Choice trick or street fight. Raquel's out here in a dollar store Jason mask, blowing people up with fire extinguishers. Dakota Kai ends up being the person from the vignettes in the hoodie with the shovel who attacks Raquel, costing her the match and giving us our new champ, and the prophecy fulfilled in Toxic Attraction, walking away with all the women's gold on NXT. Waller and Knight argue in the ring, both dressed as Dracula, and then the debut of Solo Sikoa, who takes out Waller, and then Knight runs away. So Baby Uso's here, and he kicked Waller's ass, which made me happy because I was sick of Waller at this point. MSK lose to Imperium. We have new NXT tag team champions. And if you're watching the video and you see the look on Vince's face, he's pissed off that another Italian did something big on NXT because he's a fucking racist Italian hater for some goddamn reason. He hates on Tony. Now, my boy, Fabian Aichner, tag team champion, hating on him too. Rude as shit. And then in our main event, Braun loses to Tommaso Ciampa, who Vince probably also doesn't like because he's Italian. Ciampa retains, which was actually the biggest surprise for me. Vince, what are you, obviously nothing Italian, but what are you swallowing from this episode?
I'm swallowing the prophecy being fulfilled of a Toxic Attraction winning all the gold. I thought it was the right move to do. I wasn't really a big fan of the Io Shirai, Zoe Stark tag team just because it just didn't feel like it was going to go anywhere. It never seemed like they were actually going to form a legit tag team, like similar to like a RK-Bro or a Team Hell No. It just didn't seem like they were going in that direction. It just seemed like it was like something for Io to do, something to like a title to give her, just give her something to do. So I like them putting it on JC and Gigi Dolin. So that's fantastic. I'd
argue that Io and Zoe are more of a legit tag team and more of an entertaining tag team than RK-Bro will ever be, but that's neither here nor there.
Neither here nor there. You know, I'm not a big Raquel Gonzalez fan. I think she's just kind of boring. I think she's kind of one-dimensional, and I'm not saying she's bad or anything. She just doesn't resonate with me. Right. And I'm totally behind Mandy. I'm totally behind brunette Mandy, and her winning her first championship gold period in WWE is nice to see. And NXT has a strong history of heel women factions or teams taking over and like developing into like solid storylines for the entire division. You see like the the BFFs, which was Charlotte, Sasha, and Summer Rae, Team Bay, Sasha and Becky. You had Emma and Dana Brooke together. There's been a bunch of different like heel women factions or tandems in NXT.
I wouldn't put Emma and Dana Brooke on the same level as
as far as their
impact, but
down in NXT, they were like they've always had that. And then for a second there, it was like Eva Marie and Nia Jax were together. So like, I'm not saying they were all hits, you know Dakota
Hit Row.
Shout out to Hit Row, but that's a swallow. Toxic Attraction getting all the championship.
Oh hell yeah!
What else is a swallow? I don't know why I was digging the whole Chucky stuff.
Absolutely.
I know a lot of people were going to shit on the, like, saying that that's kind of corny or whatever, but I watched that whole stuff and I'm like, if anyone would appreciate this, it'd be Matt. Matt is going to appreciate the fuck out of Chucky being part of NXT Halloween Havoc.
He's going to join us for the rest of the show now.
Fantastic.
So here's the thing. Not just that, but there was also the, so I don't know if you, because you weren't old enough, but I don't know if you know that Chucky was also part of an episode of WCW, I believe, before Halloween Havoc.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually cut a promo on Rick Steiner, Bron Breakker, the Big Bad Booty Breaker's daddy. So we've got that. And then we've got Bron in the locker room like, hey, I know you. Kind of a throwback to that whole WCW thing and Chucky's involvement in wrestling and existing, which is mm-hmm. fucking dope as well. So yeah, no, all Chucky was a swallow.
So that was definitely before my time. I wasn't watching WCW. I wasn't watching WCW at all like that, but I did catch that whole interaction with Bron Breakker, and long and behold, the YouTube algorithm brought that on my fucking feed, and I actually watched the video on WWE's YouTube channel. I'm like, that's hilarious. That segment was fucking great. I loved all that thing. It was just, and it was to promote The Bride of Chucky, which is my favorite Chucky film, by the way.
We also got some really great shots of Shotzi Blackheart and Mei Ying with the Chucky doll, and some other superstars with the Chucky doll or dressed up as Chucky this week to kind of support that involvement between USA and everything. So all of that was good. I enjoyed the shit out of that. I'm going to swallow the Scareway to Hell match specifically. Like I said, it was a little rough at times. There were a couple missed spots. It mm-hmm. wasn't perfect, but the big spots that they did hit, like EO going off the fucking ladder onto the ladder on the outside, like those women put their bodies out there and destroyed each other for that match yeah. for our entertainment. So nothing but a shout out to them for that. And I'm gonna swallow the haunted house stuff. A Trick and fucking Mello were fun as shit. Dexter and Johnny together fucking works, and it's entertaining and fun.
It's so good. And just like Vic Joseph, I hope that's a new nickname for Johnny Gargano. He called him Johnny Jigsaw. And it was. I hope that's a new nickname because I loved it. Because I love the Saw franchise. I love that franchise. I think it has a fantastic story, and just like it being referenced in wrestling is fantastic. And yeah, Johnny and Dexter have a great chemistry. One might argue better chemistry than Indy and Dexter.
I'm just no.
Not what is sexual.
Wrong? What is
not
wrong sexual. With you?
Not
why
sexually.
Are you like this?
Not sexually.
Listen,
not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying I'm more entertained by the interactions between Johnny and Dexter than I was Indy and Dexter.
Sir, Index is forever superior to John Dex. John Dex. Index beats John Dex 7 days a week. We gonna swallow anything else? I mean, I'm gonna swallow Imperium winning the tag team titles and Tony D getting a spot on Lashing Out, because both of those things are awesome for me and my people, and I love to see it. And also, MSK wasn't doing shit with those tag team titles, so I think it was time to get them off them anyway.
I want to swallow Dakota Kai coming back and wrecking Raquel Gonzalez's championship reign. Fucking fantastic. I wasn't a fan of Raquel Gonzalez, like I stated previously, and given that she's not going to get called up to main roster like everyone was imagining it was going to be the case, why not have a fully fleshed out rivalry between Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez?
All right. And I'm going to swallow the main event as well, because even though Bron, the Big Bad Booty Breaker, lost, it's a damn good match. Mm-hmm. Bron looked fantastic coming out of that match. Little show of respect at the end. Nothing but good business there. So
I don't even think it was the wrong result. I think it was just a surprising result, given that up until that point, every single title changed that was on the lines changed hands. Everyone was anticipating it to happen. But I think it's fantastically perfect, because this was Bron Breakker's biggest challenge. And you saw in that story, the story of laid out in the match was, Tommaso Ciampa had that match from the jump. At no point did you ever see in Tommaso Ciampa's body language or facial expressions or emotion that he ever felt like he was in jeopardy of losing that title. He, like, Bron Breakker was impressive. He kicked out of a lot of moves.
A lot of shit.
But Ciampa kept his composure. And to me, like, it really just felt like the young up-and-comer getting taught with like a thing or two by the young by the grizzled veteran, you know, kind of like when you go play pickup basketball and the young athletic hooper thinks that they can beat the older savvy vet, but that older vet like just has maneuvers.
You lost me.
You've never played pickup basketball and see like older guys just like have more tricks in the bag. So like,
no, I have not. I've probably not played a game of basketball since I was in fifth grade, to be honest with you.
Interesting.
Let alone a pickup game of basketball.
Interesting.
I prefer sports where I could hit people. Once I got old enough to hit people, I played sports where I could hit people and I stuck with that.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, fair enough. But I thought it was fantastic. And I don't think this doesn't mean that Bron isn't their guy or they cooled down on him. I think the intent was always to.
It's too early. It's way too early for him.
Yeah. But it was good. It was good. I think eventually they're going to circle back to that and it's going to be Bron Breakker to take the title off of Ciampa. But
probably.
Yeah. I liked it.
Are we swallowing anything else?
Unless I'm forgetting something, I think that's everything.
What are we spitting?
MSK losing the tag team titles on the on the sole principle that I love MSK. They're my team. I love those guys to death. And I didn't want them to like lose the title. Am I saying their reign was perfect? No. Am I mad that Imperium are champions? Hell no. I love Imperium. Imperium is fantastic.
Would you say their reign was good?
I plead the fifth.
I'm spitting everything Waller and LA Knight. Minus Solo, like Solo Sikoa coming out was cool, but like, I don't know. I was not feeling Waller at all tonight. I really was really, really, really holding out for Shotzi showing up and taking out Waller or Knight, whoever ended up being the guy and running the show, even though I knew it wasn't going to happen. So that's really, looking at it, the only spit I have is everything Grayson Waller and fucking LA Knight. Like, that whole thing sucked. So,
yeah. Why name LA Knight the host?
And then not have him host and then have Waller host.
Fucking weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. There wasn't too much to spit on Halloween Havoc, to be honest.
No. It was a damn good show. And
I'm spitting Tony D'Angelo. His presence alone is getting spat by me.
Sir, I will mute you for your slander. I'm about to start pulling a fucking TC on the show and being like, there will be no Tony D'Angelo slander on my podcast. God damn it. Like,
Tony D'Angelo is a Fugazi.
And that is offensive and racist that you. TC said that, not me. I'm quoting TC there. Said it feels racist when you say it about an Italian when you're not Italian, the way you direct it. And I can't say I disagree. Overall, spit or swallow NXT.
I'll swallow NXT. There's a lot of good there.
I will too. Where you want to go next? Dynamite, Rampage, Raw, or SmackDown?
Let's knock Raw out of the way.
You know what? It's not racist. It's just you don't say it right. It sounds weird when you say it. That's what.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. No. It's like me saying something in Spanish without rolling my R's.
I don't really would take that as racist or anything. Or
that's why I said it doesn't sound right. Like if something is supposed to be pronounced a certain way and I'm pronouncing it wrong, and it almost feels intentionally wrong, and I'm using it as an insult while pronouncing it incorrectly. Are you following along now?
Yeah, I guess. Okay. I guess.
Where'd you say you want to go?
Let's round up some Raw.
Raw. I can scroll all the way back at the top. We kick it off with Big E promo. Puts over King Xavier, which was a little nice touch. Seth comes out, says, "You already know why I'm out here. I want to be champion and I want a title shot." And Big E reminds him that he lost Edge. So why the fuck do you get a title shot? Seth doesn't care. He wants a title shot anyway. Big E says, "Back of the line, bitch." But not in the same way Becky said it. Seth says, "Roman is scared of me," and asks if Big E is too, tries to play him. Then Ray, Finn, and Kevin Owens all join the party and say, "Hey, we all want title shots too." give us title shots. KO tossed Seth about beating him to become Universal Champion in the state and city that they're in right now. Seth then attacks everyone and runs away. Sonya comes out, makes a fatal four-way main event, number one contender ladder match for tonight. And then we get interview from Seth later on. Kevin and Finn have, you know, an every man for himself, heart to heart, but I respect you, good guy backstage moment, blah, 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 before the match. Rudolph defeats Alpha Academy and the Street Profits to get a title shot for some reason. Championship
contenders again.
Yeah, whatever. Queen Zelina's coronation. She goes in and out of an accent. So sometimes she's using a British accent. Sometimes she's just talking normal. Makes the ring announcer reintroduce her the way they rehearsed it. I'll get into that. Gonna beat Doudrop again. All hail Queen Zelina. And then Doudrop loses to Zelina. Zelina gets the win again. So cool for Zelina. We got a Becky promo. She trashes Bianca, lists all the people that the fans wanted to see her beat, that she beat. Bianca comes out, says she didn't lose, calls Becky a cheater. Bianca says she's still number one contender because she beat Charlotte. Becky says back of the line, bitch, but not in the way that Big E said back of the line, bitch. This felt a little iffy when it came out. They brawl. Bianca catches a kendo stick, whoops Becky. Becky weasels in a white Russian leg sweep, which was amazing because when was the last time you fucking saw a white Russian leg sweep? And then takes off. Damian Priest defeats T-Bar by DQ. And then Priest kills T-Bar, hopefully for good. Liv loses to Mella Face because that's a thing. So Mella does an I'm so pretty promo because that's apparently all she can do now. And then Liv comes out dressed as Chucky, looking fantastic, and takes another fucking L. Keith Lee destroys Cedric Alexander, and then Shelton comes in and decides, you know what, I'm not going to fuck with this guy, and backs down. Dom loses to Theory because we needed that. Theory wants Dom to take a selfie of him, and Ray, Dom refuses. So then Theory lays down the challenge for this match, and then Theory beats him. RK Bro defeats Rudolph because they won that match, and apparently it was supposed to be an AJ Omos rematch, but that didn't happen, and who gives a fuck, Riddle. Then in our main event ladder match, Rollins defeats Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, and Rey Mysterio in the ladder match to become the number one contender for Big E's WWE Championship. What are we swallowing for Monday Night Raw?
Before we get into the swallows, I just kind of wanted to point out, did you notice how, including Big E, like those five guys that opened up Raw, their main event scene is basically SmackDown's main event scene for the last year minus Roman Reigns?
No, I didn't notice that.
Kevin Owens was beaten by Roman. Seth Rollins was circling around that main event scene. Rey Mysterio was booked against Roman. Finn was booked against Roman, and Big E was always penciled in to be in the upper echelon of that tier. So if you really, that's the first thing I noticed when Raw opened. It's like, well, is Lashley going to come out? And if Lashley comes out, this would be a little bit different. But every single person that's in the main event scene on Monday Night Raw currently, outside of Bobby Lashley, are people that have been in the main event scene on SmackDown for the last year.
All right. Yeah. I didn't realize that, but now you say it. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But I'm going to go ahead and swallow the opening segment. I thought it was a good way to introduce all the new faces to Raw, to the Raw brand, even though they've all already been on Raw. But I thought it was a great way to do it. I liked the fatal four-way match to close off the show. I'm always a big fan of ladder matches. Totally fantastic. I'm going to swallow Seth Rollins winning because I think he was the right choice to win and be the first feud against Big E. Big E needs a strong heel, and there's no stronger heel on Raw right now than Seth Rollins. Okay. Outside of maybe Bobby Lashley, but I don't think you want to go ahead and do Lashley Big E so soon. I think you want to let that simmer for a bit, circle back to that, because that's who Big E beat for the championship. I kind of want to actually have a program for it. Let Big E have his run, his reign as champion. Let him run through a few people like Seth Rollins. I thought it was fantastic. Okay. Bearcat Keith Lee, want to swallow that man all day, every day. I'm not the biggest fan of him being like so like silence, mean, powerhouse heel, but I'm just happy he's on my television screen.
Yeah,
I'm just happy to see him.
I agree with you. It bothers me that we got this narrative that Keith Lee had to, they wanted to kind of make him like the new Mark Henry, like the big angry black man. And then they change his name to Bearcat. They change his music again. And now he comes out and all of the things that we loved about Keith Lee, the swagger that he had in NXT,
they're gone.
Out on the indies, it's all gone. And he is big angry black man. And I don't understand why WWE needed that or needed to do that to him. I don't know why Vince needed to, you know, change these things about him because he was great the way he was. So like, as happy as I am that he's finally back on TV and they're doing shit with him, it also kind of bothers me that they, you know, did this to him.
I mean, unfortunately, the saying goes with WWE, you kind of have to take chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad instead of being just given chicken salad to begin with and just like adding to it. I think Keith Lee will be fine. He strikes me as someone that's just going to weather this storm and then eventually get to where he's got to be.
But I hate seeing like guys like
Jimmy
Bobby Lashley, who it took them over 10 years of bust. And I don't think Keith Lee has 10 years. Like, he's already, I think, 40. Like, I don't know that he's got 10 years to get to that spot to be in the main event, to be WWE champion. And he was ready to fucking go straight out of NXT. And
it was my, like, honestly, after he got called up, he was my early favorite to win the Royal Rumble and be in that position to be the one to dethrone Roman Reigns for that Universal title up until like the Big E like singles run. Like, he was one of the guys, and we'll see. Again, we'll see. It's still early in this whole thing. Like, they could drop the whole Bearcat gimmick like 3 months down the line and he'll just be Limitless Keith Lee again. We don't fucking know. So we'll see. Unfortunately, I know you've been burnt by the whole let's wait and see, let's let things play out.
Once or twice, or damn near every time.
Yeah. So
kind of like everyone told me, oh, wait and see what happens with the brand split and this thing that they're doing with Becky and Charlotte. And yeah, no, I'm
trash, by the way. That was
fucking trash.
Trash. Last thing I want to go ahead and like swallow is Bianca owning Becky Lynch on the mic. Like, I think Bianca has gotten to a point where she's the most interesting wrestler in that division, more so than Sasha Banks, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, or anyone else you want to throw in there. I think she's the most genuine, interesting, and most popular, over exciting wrestler in that whole division. She's kind of like, she kind of feels like she has that momentum that Becky had when she initially became the man, and people were slowly getting behind that. Or when like Asuka was making her runs in NXT, there's a genuine like momentum behind Bianca Belair right now that I feel like no one in that division can match.
That I agree with. Sorry, somebody liked the tweet, and I read the tweet that I posted, and I realized that I spelled Kofu instead of Kofi, and it bothered me. I hate when that happens. Twitter, can we get a fucking edit button already? I'm swallowing Liv as Chucky and her Chucky gear. I love that. I'm swallowing Damian Priest and his character change. They got rid of the fucking Archer of Infamy. No more fake arrow bullshit. So I am stoked for that. No more, you know, of that dumb shit. And then he comes out and beats the living dog shit out of Dominic Dijakovic. Hopefully beats him back to Dominic Dijakovic so he drops the dumbass name T-Bar. Enjoyed the shit out of that as well.
Donovan Doja Cat. Let's repackage him to Donovan Doja Cat as okay, Justin. So
we're not going to let you or Justin book WWE because that is a terrible idea. A ladder match, I agree with you. I'm swallowing Seth winning the ladder match, becoming number one contender. It was a fun-ass ladder match. And then the whole thing, the whole opening thing. And of course, like you said, also Bianca beating the shit out of Becky with a kendo stick, stopping Becky from hitting her with the kendo stick, catching it, all that fun shit. And the White Russian leg sweep. What are we, I'm not swallowing Keith Lee. I'm gonna let that play out and see.
Okay.
What are we spit?
What am I spitting?
I'm spitting Liv losing.
Yes, I want to spit Carmella because I'm not feeling this whole new gimmick she's got going on with the whole Mella mask. You know, Mella face is what you dubbed her.
Yes, Mella face.
Mella face. I'm not digging Mella face
because it's like Leatherface, but it's Mella face.
I caught the reference. Okay. I'm not the biggest horror movie buff, but I get some references. I know enough.
I'm spitting everything Raw tag team division. I'm spitting Rudolph winning and then facing RK-Bro and the fact that RK-Bro still exists and is a thing and all that shit. So
I don't know. Like, I think everything else is just kind of like gargle worthy. Like, it was just fucking there and they didn't really care too much.
Yeah, kind of how I'm spitting the fact that Zelina came out and told the ring announcer to introduce her the way they rehearsed it, because if you rehearsed it, why the fuck wouldn't you just introduce her that way the first time? Why would you introduce her and then have to run it back the way you rehearsed it? I don't understand why you just didn't do the ring announcement that you rehearsed to do in the first place.
Do you, by any chance, remember the differences between the original way she was announced versus the rehearsed one?
Not specifically, but it definitely there was more emphasis to it. And I believe he referred to her as the first ever Queen's Crown winner or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, he added the first ever in there. I think the first time he just said the Queen's Crown winner, Zelina Vega or whatever. So there was a little more in there than what we got the first time. So I was like, why not just do that the first time? Also, I feel bad for Zelina. Like, Xavier got this awesome coronation where Kofi said all these nice things about him, and Zelina doesn't have any fucking friends. So, like, she had nobody say nice things about her. And then Doudrop comes out all happy and skippy and kind of rains on her parade, but she did get the win. So,
Well, to be fair, like, that was just a massive hype train behind Xavier Woods winning King of the Ring.
Yeah.
And there was literally no one on the Queen's Crown bracket that it was like a lot of momentum towards that one person. Everyone wanted Woods. Everyone knew that Woods wanted this. Woods leaned into it heavy. Kofi helped lean into it heavy and made it a fantastic thing last week and this week as well. Zelina, like you said, couldn't decide if she was going to do an English accent or not. She kept flipping back and forth.
I think that's going to be part of her character, though, and that doesn't bother me. Is like,
so you think it's by design? You think it's by design?
I'm pretty sure it was by design that she was going in and out of it on purpose.
Gotcha. We'll see. Too early to tell. But at least they're doing something with Zelina. Thought of her enough to put that title of Queen's Crown winner on her. Maybe they'll do something with it. We'll see.
Overall, spit or swallow Monday Night Raw.
I'm a gargle Raw.
Okay.
I don't think I was given enough. I wouldn't be opposed to spitting it because it looks like that's where you're leaning.
I'm gonna spit it. Like, it wasn't a bad, like, it wasn't a terrible show, but I'm looking back at everything that happened. The only things I really give a shit about are the Big E promo and the ladder match. Everything else was just kind of there. And then the Becky stuff. So where are we going next? SmackDown, Rampage, or Dynamite?
Let's lock up some AEW Dynamite.
Or Rampage. We could do Rampage too.
When it always comes to Dynamite or Rampage, I always like to do Dynamite and then Rampage because I feel like that's chronological in their timeline.
So we kick it off. The match that everyone's been waiting to see since, you know, CM Punk returned, CM Punk versus Bobby Fish. That, you know, that that was the biggest match that everyone wanted to make sure they saw. We got that kicking off the show. CM Punk gets the win. We got a Malakai Black promo where he talks about how this feud isn't about pinfalls. It's about changing Cody. It's about turning everyone against Cody. And he's already winning. He turned his wife against him. He turned Arn against him. He turned everyone against him. And then he made Cody go to a dark place that he's never gone to before. And that the house always wins. MJF has a squash match. He said he'd rather shove his junk in a blender than bang a chick from Boston. Darby made the challenge now to how Darby made a challenge to him, but now he's too scared to show up to work. How he beat Hangman. It doesn't matter if Hangman wins or Kenny wins at Full Gear. He's going to be a future champ. Then we get the fake out. Sting's music plays and he starts laughing at all of us because we thought Sting was coming out. But the lights go out and a little video plays of Darby on stage with some dude dressed up as MJF that he drop kicks at a concert in black and white. Sting shows up behind them. Wardlow gets his ass beat. MJF runs. Darby's in the crowd. Darby attacks MJF, comes in, and then Wardlow catches the thumbtacked skate deck to the back. I saw pictures after that. Looked like it fucked him up pretty good. And I realize now I never want to be a wrestler because that does not look like something I ever want to take. We got a Brit interview. We find out on Rampage we're getting a trick or treat match. No DQ, and if Abaddon wins, she gets a title shot. The trick is that it's a street fight. Sammy defeats Ethan Page. Sky and Page jump Sammy, then the Inner Circle run him off, and then Jericho announces the 10-man tag is going to be a street fight because we didn't get enough street fights this week.
I feel like we had way too many street fights this week.
Yeah, no shit. Treeseman Danielson and Eddie Edwards have an interview. Eddie just kind of goes in on Daniel talking about, you said I don't work hard and shit. Well, I don't want to hear anything you have to say. I bust my ass. You don't know how hard it is just to get up in the morning and fucking be me, let alone, you know, do what I do in the ring and everything like that. And then I don't want to hear you walks away. And then Brian's like, I respect Eddie and how hard he is, but, you know, I'm not the guy that's going to come out here and whine and cry. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do the work. So when we go out there on Rampage, I'm going to beat Eddie. That was it. Lucha Bros accept FTR's challenge at Full Gear. Hikaru Shida versus Deeb. Shida gets the win. This is her 50th win. She's the first woman to get 50 wins in AEW. She also advances in the women's tournament, WWE. This is how you do a women's tournament. They gave the women time. It was a damn good match. And there were stakes and things involved. And so far, they're blowing your Queen's Crown tournament out of the water.
Yeah. And you know what? You know me. I'm a very harsh critic of AEW, but props to them. One of the critiques I had of them was their lack of emphasis in the women's division. It was literally just one match and then that's it. If you weren't in the title picture, everyone else was irrelevant. Now, like, you see their tournament that they're doing for the TBS championship, it's fantastic. The matches are getting fucking time. Shida versus Deep was a great match. It was a really good match. I enjoyed it. And again, you look at the Queen's Crown tournament where everything lasted like 2 minutes. Like come on, like high school Vince lasted longer than that. Come on, guys. Like,
I don't believe that for a second. We got Mox defeating 10. 10 got his ass beat. Like, yes, 10 got
from the jump. His mask got fucked.
His mask got torn. He was left bloodied, and Mox just ran through poor 10. Did not get him over in any way, shape, or form.
I don't think that was the intended goal.
We got a Cody promo. Well, see, that's the thing. We'll talk about it. We got a Cody promo. Dude, he tries so hard to make people like him. And it's one of those things where it's like, the harder you try to make me like you, the less I fucking like you. Like, you're making me dislike you more by trying so hard to make me like you. Like, go fuck yourself. Andrade offers to make Cody his little bitch. Black shows up, sprays mist in Cody's face. They attack Cody, start beating down Cody and Arn. Pac comes out, saves Cody from Black and Andrade. Fun shit, minus Cody. We got the eight-man tag Halloween costume main event. So you've got the Dork Order. It's Stu Grayson as Kratos. Cabana as Cutler, Brandon Cutler. Tiny Hands as Bambi and Uno as a cowboy. And then on the other side is a Super Elite who are all dressed as Ghostbusters with a Bebe Nakamura dressed as a Bebe and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. During the match, Brandon Cutler comes out dressed as a horse, but the Elite don't know it's him. So they end up super kicking him, taking the mask off, finding out it's Cutler. And it's like, wait, if that's Cutler, who's in the Marshmallow Man suit? And it's motherfucking Hangman Page, mm-hmm. drops Matt Jackson, drops Omega, and helps the Dark Order get the win. I see the look on your face. I'm swallowing this match right out the gate because this match was supposed to be fun, and it was fun, and it still did good things for Hangman Adam Page. Yeah. So I can't knock this match. Like, it did exactly what it was supposed to do. It entertained me. I turned my brain off. I turned reasoning off and all that shit mm-hmm. of like what a match. Like, they did the fucking Ninja Turtle shell bash with the fucking proton packs. All right.
So
I'm swallowing.
So listen, I'm not saying it wasn't good. I think it was kind of corny and hokey. I wasn't a fan of it. I didn't necessarily enjoy it. It did take me out of the match. And more so because I knew it was coming. Kenny and the Bucks have a history of doing that every year on Halloween, whether it's in the Indies, New Japan Pro Wrestling, Ring of Honor, whatever. They've been done that stuff, kind of stuff. And it's like, I'm not a fan when WWE does that kind of shit. I'm not going to sit here and be a fan when AEW does it. And I wasn't, the only thing I'll swallow was the swerve at the end where Hangman Adam Page got the one up on the Elite and helped the Dark Order get the dub. The match itself, I kind of tuned out.
There's also a fun moment where I think it was Tiny Hands. Somebody was like whooping the Elite's ass and the ref was knocked out. And you saw Hangman like trying to wake the ref up, but you didn't, you knew it was Hangman, but you didn't know it was Hangman. Like, he hadn't revealed himself yet. But mm-hmm. like, as Kenny or Magic, somebody's getting fucked up. Like, he's trying to wake the ref up so the ref can get the pin. And that's kind of like the first hint that, hey, that's not one of their boys.
Yeah.
What else are we swallowing?
Shida versus Serena Deeb. Yep. I thought that. Fantastic match. I'm swallowing CM Punk on my television screen just because he's back in wrestling. It's still a little surreal for me to see him be back in wrestling. And until he decides to hang up his boots officially, I'm just going to swallow him being in the wrestling match in 2021.
I'm swallowing everything Malakai Black. The promo, yes. Him explaining, I wasn't out here to beat you in a match. I'm not here for wins or losses. There's more at stake, and it's basically Cody's soul. Him getting the black mist off in Cody's face. I enjoy the idea of Andrade, Pac, mm-hmm. and Malakai in a promo or in a
program.
Not so much Cody.
Yes, exactly.
But
I do want to say with the whole Malakai Black stuff where it's like, oh, it wasn't about wins or losses with me. I kind of want to be a little hesitant, just slightly, just because when it comes with those kind of characters, they're like a Dexter Lumis or a Bray Wyatt. There's always like, oh, they don't really care about like wins or losses. They care about their like ulterior motive, like their angle, like the larger, bigger picture motive. And I just want to like be a little cautious because wins and losses still matter. And I don't want him to just completely not give a fuck about wins or losses.
No. But he needs to get the wins when they do matter. So yes. I don't necessarily agree with this, but Bully Ray said something very interesting. And it's like, if you get over, you never have to go over. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I do because my favorite wrestler of all time is The Undertaker. And for as long he was in WWE longer than anyone else as an active competitor, he does not hold as many championships. You know, the things you remember from him are not his title reigns. It's maybe a moment when he was champion, but it's not him winning the titles. It's not his title reigns. It's not things like that. It's everything else he did. And a lot of the stuff was probably him losing, like, or, you know, putting guys over. Like, I know everyone talks about fucking Jeff Hardy and the great match that Undertaker had with Jeff Hardy and Jeff Hardy. So that whole thing. But like what he did with Mankind, what, you know, getting Kane over, like those moments, those things are the things you remember. It's not necessarily his title reign. So in that idea, I believe him, or I agree with him, but also you need to get fucking wins. And it's easy for a guy who's won more tag team champions than anyone in fucking wrestling history to be like, if you get over, you don't have to go over, because look at how many times you fucking went over.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, I'm swallowing all that.
I want to do a gargle. I know we always do like spit or swallows, but I want to have a specific gargle on the Cody Rhodes promo. And I'm going to tell you why, because it's either one of two things. Either Cody is very self-aware of what's going on and he knows he's getting the Cena Roman heat and he's leaning into it. And this is going to lead into like a heel turn where he like goes back on his word and goes after the title. Like he said, when he was like about to hit the Tiger Driver 99, and he said he could have hit a completely different move and like went in a different path. Obviously, he was talking about the pedigree, because like the setup is the same. And he also obviously was kind of like making the allude to like, I could be a fucking Triple H and just be a fucking tyrant. But he's like, but I love you guys too much. I have that much respect. And it's like, there's a line, because either he's so self-aware of what's happening that he's going to lean into it and become the biggest heel in that company, or one of the bigger heels in that company, and get genuine heat. Or he's so unaware of what's happening and he's worse than what John Cena was, because at least John Cena's gimmick was, I'm basically super goody two-shoe guy, and it was for the kids that I never turned heel. Cody's like, I respect you guys as fans too much to turn heel. I was like, no, shut the fuck up, dude. No one likes you. You sound like a whiny little bitch, like you were saying initially. So like,
yeah, no, so for me it's a spit, which we're not there yet, but it's definitely a fuck Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, no, I'm not leaning behind Cody. I'm just saying that either it's him being aware of what's happening and he's leaning into it, or he's unintentionally leaning into it by trying to be liked, you know.
Right, but I'm saying either way, whether he's leaning into it or he's avoiding it and unaware, regardless, it's a fuck Cody Rhodes. I'm spitting it.
I don't care, Cody Rhodes, any day.
I don't care if he turns heel. I don't care if he's a babyface. At this point, I have no investment in the guy and don't really care to see him. Like, I was kind of happy with the idea of him just taking his boots off after he got his ass whipped by Malakai, then going back and handling stuff backstage. Like, I was good with that. So
I'm all for that too. The partnership between Andrade and Malakai Black, there's history there. Obviously, if you know the history, fantastic. I don't know if it's going to lead to an actual pairing, but I'd be interested to see that.
I think that's all I got for swallows.
Spits.
I'm spitting Mox defeating 10, just because, again, if we're
why?
Because here's the thing. If we're doing a tournament, the point of the tournament is to build guys up. And I don't throw the word bury out there a lot, but this almost seemed like Mox was burying 10. Like 10 looked terrible after this match. He got destroyed by Mox, and Mox is not a guy that needs to destroy people, because he's not a monster. He's not fucking Braun Strowman, one. And two, he doesn't need, he's already fucking John Moxley. Like, he doesn't need more. So why not have a competitive match with, I'm sure it's part of a story going forward, and it's going to lead to whatever is going to be Mox versus fucking Treseman Danielson. Like, but I felt like they really just kind of disrespected 10, which
they gave 10 the short end of the stick here.
Big time. Yeah. And I didn't think he needed to be in this tournament anyway, but after watching that, I felt bad for the guy, and not in like,
I
want to see him come back and do better. I just like, oh wow, they shit on you.
They did him bogus. Yeah. They did him dirty. And I agree with you. Not, I don't even give a fuck about 10, but watching the match, I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah.
You get sympathy. I don't know if maybe was that the goal, to get sympathy towards
him? But I don't have sympathy for him. Like I said, I don't want to see
him. Or you
like,
pity not, him.
I pity him. Yeah. I pity him for what happened to him.
Pitiful.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I'm getting worked, but I'm spitting MJF. Like, I don't care what this guy does. Everyone hypes him up to, like, he's such a fantastic heel. And it's just like, no, it's no. Like, honestly, like, I don't care. Like, I tune him out. I literally don't care what he says. And it's like, I don't know.
I mean, he makes a lot of great points and he's entertaining as all hell. So I would say he's a great heel just because I enjoy him when he does what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not real.
I'm not saying he's a bad heel or a bad wrestler, or a bad character. I just don't think, I just don't care. I'm not invested in him. So I just tune him out. I'm not saying he's like I said, it's kind of like when someone says, oh man, like this is like the best pizza ever, you gotta fucking try this pizza. Or when it was like, this is the best burger ever, you have to try. And then you try the burger and it's like, okay, it's a good burger, but it's like not the best burger ever. And a lot of people like to hype up MJF. Like, not saying you specifically or anyone I know intentionally specifically, I'm not singling anyone out. I just do see this on social media and in other podcasts and other shows saying like, oh man, he's such a great heel. He's like the best heel. He's like the best promo. I'm like, no.
I'm going to spit Cody Rhodes promo because I just don't give a fuck about Cody.
No, yeah, I'm spitting the promo. I didn't fucking like the context of it. It's fucking stupid.
We spit anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Dynamite overall, spit or swallow? I'm swallowing. I enjoyed the shit out of this show outside of Cody's promo, but then Malakai and Andrade showed up and did their thing, so that kind of was a boon for me. And then I enjoyed the main event. I enjoyed the women's match. I enjoyed MJF. I enjoyed the majority of this.
Okay, so I guess I'm leaning towards it's like an in-between of a gargle and a swallow, because I like the show, but I'm like, oh no, I love the show. It's like, it wasn't a bad show. It was a decent show. It was a solid show. Right. So it's going to be like a very like small load swallow, where it's like, sure, I'm swallowing it, not spitting it. But like, it wasn't a huge load or it wasn't the best load, but you know, it was
you weren't really adequate.
I wasn't really into it. You know, you're just being polite.
Yeah. You know, I thought about you the other day. I was listening to Busted Open and Bully Ray was talking and he wanted to use. So he was talking about slow burns. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I know we have children listeners, so I'm not going to get too into detail like I want to. But he was talking about how a slow burn is always better than like getting right to it. You know, like.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to build up and build up to the finish. And then I was thinking of you and your lack of foreplay. And no.
See, man, you're putting this narrative out there that I'm against foreplay. I love foreplay.
You know foreplay? Tony D'Angelo loves foreplay. He's a foreplay master.
SmackDown.
SmackDown or Rampage?
Oh, Rampage. Let's just knock out Rampage out of the way. I didn't get a chance to watch it. I just caught the results.
Well, we kicked it off with Brian defeating Eddie Kingston to move on after the match. Brian no goes for a little bit of, you know, hey, good match. And Kingston says, fuck you, and leaves. CM Punk has an interview. He's interrupted by Eddie Kingston, who comes back. He's, why are you laughing? Why are you smiling? I should have fucking won. I should be going for the championship. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Smacks the mic out of Tony's hand and disrespects him. And Tony just leaves and kind of gets in his face. So, the idea of Mox and Kingston versus maybe Brian and Punk is interesting, or I kind of agree with a lot of people that are like, I don't like the fact that Punk's not in a program and he's just wrestling everyone.
Yeah. So I think you got to like sit there and like really analyze. And I think the story of Punk is him getting back into the rhythm. I think that's his story, is him getting back into the swing of things. And also it's him wanting to work with young other guys that he didn't get a chance to work right now.
You got time. You don't need to burn through everyone in the fucking company.
Exactly. Because you got to think about it. You're getting Daniel. You got Daniel Bryan, Adam Cole, and CM Punk within a week of each other. Like, yeah. You got three big names. They can't all be in the main event picture. They got to do other stuff.
But nobody's asking for CM Punk to be in the main event picture. They just want him to be in a fucking storyline and not just wrestling random people every week.
He was in a storyline with Darby. He was in a storyline with Team Taz.
He had one match with Darby. He had a story with Team Taz that was one or two matches. One match with each person he wrestled in Team Taz. So one with Hobbs. I don't even think he ever fucking finished that story. I don't think he even wrestled fucking FTW champion. What's his name? It's Ricky Starks.
Ricky Starks.
Yeah, no, he wrestled Hobbs. That was it. And he got choked out. Like, and then he moved on. And then he wrestled fucking now he just Daniel wrestled Garcia. Fish. He wrestled Danny Garcia. Now he wrestled Fish. Now he might be moving on to fucking Eddie Kingston. It's like getting a fucking feud. Wrestle somebody more than once.
Okay, well, let me pose this question to you. If you right now, as the booker of AEW, had to book CM Punk in his first program, his first feud, who would it be and why?
MJF. Because MJF is arguably the best on the mic in AEW.
Yeah.
So it's going to give CM Punk someone to work with. It depends on what the end goal is. Like right now, if the end goal is Hangman and fucking what's his nuts, Kenny, and Hangman's gonna win, and you're gonna eventually transition into MJF, then maybe MJF wins the feud overall, but Punk wins a match or two in there. Like, it's got to be more than one match. That's the point. Like, it's got to be a feud. There's got to be something there, building to a pay per view or something like that. It's got to be more than just a one off, and that's all we've seen is one offs. So. But we're not at the Spitter Swallows yet. So we also got Dante Martin defeating Matt Sydal. And then in our main event, it is the Tricker street fight, because, ladies and gentlemen, it was another fucking street fight. We got your goal by the time the show is over is to give me a title that involves street fight for our show this week, even though our picture is going to be Toxic Attraction. We already agreed on that. I'm gonna need something with street fight in, because everything had every show had a fucking street fight, it seems like.
Toxic street fights.
Britt defeats the devil's thickest demon, Abaddon. She had her head stomped in a fucking chair and got up and no-sold it. Britt poured tacks in her mouth and then laid in the tacks and put in the lockjaw. They beat the living dog shit out of each other. And you had Jamie Hayter and Rebel ringside dressed as zombies as well. Again, another fun fucking main event from AEW. So I'm going to kick it off and swallow that right off the bat.
Yeah, based off everything you described to me, it all sounds swallow worthy. So I will definitely go back and rewatch Rampage. And I'm actually kind of interested in seeing what Eddie Kingston versus CM Punk may look like, because that seems like an interesting feud, even if they just do like a one-off type thing. I'd like to see that matchup.
And I'm going to swallow the match that kicked off the show too, between Daniel and Kingston.
Oh,
that
like I can only imagine.
I'm basically swallowing the whole show. Dante and Sydal was fun as shit too. Like I said, the only thing I'm going to spit is the idea that CM Punk is already moving on again. Like, he beat Bobby Fish and now he's feuding with Eddie Kingston. It's like, dude, what the fuck?
He's the Barney Stinson of wrestling. He's the Barney Stinson of wrestling.
No, it's just, I don't know. It bugs me. Like, I thought we were going to do something with Bobby Fish here, and like, we were going to get into an actual feud, and then he beat him, and
Hot
now he's
Punk Summer. Yeah. It just finished off. He's heading into the
fucking hot he's potato punk around. Is what it is.
He's whoring around AEW's roster. I'm all for it. Embrace your horse, your inner horse, CM Punk.
So are we swallowing Rampage then? I mean, obviously you didn't watch it, but
I didn't watch it, but from what you're describing, like, obviously, like, Rampage is always like, when they give you at least two good matches and a decent match in the middle, it's always a really good show. Like, 1 hour shows are always fantastic, which is what I used to love about the old NXT format.
All right. Swallow and Rampage. SmackDown, we kick it off with a Charlotte promo. She talks about how no one cheers for her. It's just another Friday. Every time she wins a title and then winks. Says she's the leader that SmackDown needs. Sasha interrupts. Says Charlotte doesn't give a shit about anyone but herself. Sasha wants a title shot. Charlotte tells her, well, you're being selfish. Maybe mm-hmm. we should get some new blood in here. And then you hear the chainsaw, and out comes the tank, and it's motherfucking Shotzi Blackheart. And Shotzi says she wants a shot, so Charlotte gives her a match. Charlotte defeats Shotzi, but damn, did they do a good job getting Shotzi over in this match. And then after the match, because Sasha cost Shotzi the match, mm-hmm. and I am 100% in agreement with Shotzi on that, Shotzi beat the dog shit out of Sasha, like whooped her ass. Now, we'll get into it, but yeah. Jeff Hardy interview. Maybe he's going to do some new things, maybe challenge for a belt he's never won. Corbin and Moss interrupt. They're stupid, blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares. Adam Pearce promo.
Corbin and Moss?
Yeah, Corbin and Moss.
Oh, I thought you said Omos. No, like Corbin as in almost.
Like, yeah. Like Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin.
I miss on this shirt,
which they need Shorty G to be like the most offensively stupid fucking group in all of WWE as far as names go. Adam Pearce gives us a promo from his house, talks a lot of shit about Brock Lesnar from his house, from the safety of his home behind his security system at his
like
desk.
Most people in the internet tend to do.
Yeah. Then he says not only is Brock suspended, but he's going to fine him $1 million. Meanwhile, Paul Heyman is watching this from the monitor and he's kind of smirking and smiling. Kayla comes up and wants to know how Brock will respond. And Paul starts going off about how Roman would respond. She goes, yeah, that's great, but that's not what I ask you. How would Brock respond? And then you hear Paul Heyman, the advocate of Brock Lesnar, kind of come out and he starts going into detail of what Brock Lesnar will do or would do. And he catches himself and realizes what he's doing. And then he kind of stops himself and pulls back and tells Kayla to have a nice day. We got an open challenge from Drew. Mustafa Ali accepts. Drew gets the win. And then Ali cuts a promo afterwards saying that the only reason people boo him is because his name is Mustafa Ali.
I wasn't feeling that.
King Xavier runs in to hit Roe backstage before they go out. Kofi gets knighted by Woods and made the hand of the king. The Usos interrupt. We get Usos versus New Day in a trial by combat for our main event. Knock and Boogs lose to Corbin and Moss in a Trico street fight because Carrillo and Garza decided to show up and help the heels to introduce themselves to SmackDown. Sonya does an interview, says she's not biased to Naomi. Sammy interrupts her, and while Sammy's talking, they interrupt Sammy with Naomi's music playing and her entrance. Naomi comes out for a match against Shayna Baszler, and then Sonya interrupts and says, hey, listen, after what happened last week, the ref that was supposed to ref this match is hurt, so I'm going to ref because I'm fair and unbiased. And of course, Sonya screws over mm-hmm. Naomi. Naomi gets in Sonya's face, and then Shayna chokes out Naomi from behind. And in our main event, the New Day defeat the Usos. The King and the Hand of the King go over. What are we swallowing from SmackDown this week?
Everything King Xavier, like the interaction backstage with Hero was great. I love seeing that interaction. The knighting of Sir Kofi Kingston was great. I swear this whole King of the Ring gimmick was the perfect thing for New Day. Shout out to TC from the cafeteria for pointing that out. That was his thought. I just want to reiterate it here. It's fucking hilarious. I think they were the perfect choice. Like Woods definitely was the perfect choice to be King. Oh, yeah. Because it would have just been kind of cheesy if it went to Finn, you know? It would have been a little cheesy. Okay. And it kind of forced. I also want to go ahead and swallow Shotzi looking like she's gonna be a big player in the singles women's division on SmackDown. I'm all for it. I'm all for Shotzi. Give me all Shotzi all day, every day. She looked fan fucking tastic. on SmackDown.
You okay there?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a little flustered. You know, a little heavy on the head lately, you know? You good over
this,
there?
Well, I got this good. Nice signed shirt from a buddy of mine. And it was sitting on this chair. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So now you're caressing your pectoral region.
I'm showing everyone the shirt. Like, it's a nice shirt. So you can see the autograph up there.
Yeah. That's a really good friend you got there.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an all right person. It'd be nice if he showed up every week. I'm swallowing Shotzi 100% all day, every day. Everything Shotzi. Swallowing Shotzi beating the shit out of Sasha. Swallowing, you know, her match with Charlotte, her coming out, her getting a spot. And the fact that the rumors said that there was a new character for Shotzi where she is going to play a female movie star, and they akined it to a female Val Venus and said there were already vignettes and everything shot for it. But out comes Shotzi, as only Shotzi can be, tank and all, no porn star gimmick. Though I will say, if Shotzi had a porn star gimmick, that would be the best chance that we have to get her on this show. And I would 100% just be blowing WWE up and saying, your porn star character needs to be on the number one wrestling podcast on Pornhub. It's only fitting to give her legitimacy. But I'm happy they're not changing Shotzi. I fucking love her the way she is.
Yeah.
I'm happy that she's finally getting a go and they're doing something with her. They had her in the tag team with Tegan, and then she disappeared for a little while. Now it looks like she might get a little singles push. So all good things for Shotzi Blackheart.
Yeah, for sure.
And we never know. Maybe she beat the shit out of Sasha, and like that was her beginning of her character change. And next week she'll come out as a porn star. Like, you never know. But as of now, fuck you, Dirt Sheets, for your dumbass reporting.
The gear she had on was very nice. So I feel like if she was a porn star gimmick, like that gear would have been like a nice way to go.
With all the rips and tears in the tights and shit. We just need to get her new tights. Maybe for Christmas.
I want to swallow that main event. Usos versus New Day always hits. It's always delivers. Always delivers. Never a miss.
I'm going to swallow the Naomi Shayna stuff because I'm actually enjoying this story with Sonya Deville. And as long as it actually builds to something, and we
as long as
Naomi,
it pays off,
as long as it pays off, like, I'm good with it. So it's entertaining, it's interesting, and it's getting Naomi back on our TV doing something, and she's actually in something, and it's possibly leading to Sonya getting back in the ring. So, like, I'm all for that. I'm also going to swallow Adam Pearce being a chicken shit and talking a bunch of shit from his desk from the safety of his home, but also kind of getting into character and talking about like how he's the heart and soul of WWE. And
question, Matt, what's the over under on Brock Lesnar being the shit out of Adam Pearce in the comfort of his own home while he's doing one of these like desk interviews? What's the over under?
I'd give it 70-30.
Okay,
Brock shows up at Adam Pearce's house.
He's got to, and then and it's literally the one camera, like a video camera angle, and it's like you just see him being tossed around everywhere and shit. That's what I want to see. That's the payoff.
We swallowed anything else?
I think that's it.
What are we spitting?
I'm spitting how I don't know what character Sasha is. I don't know if she's a heel or a face, because when she returned, it felt like she was a heel with the whole Bianca Becky like
triangle. Well, that doesn't matter, because that was in that weird period where there were no brands.
Yeah, but then
nothing counted.
But then she came out today and she still kind of gave me heel vibes, but then throughout the entire match while she was in ringside, I couldn't determine whether she was genuinely trying to support Shotzi or if she was just being a condescending heel, being like, come on, like, you got to do better type of shit. So that when people were saying, oh, that was Shotzi's heel turn, because I saw people saying that online saying that, oh, that Shotzi turned into heel, my, when did Sasha turn into a fucking baby face? It's like, how am I so confused as to what she is? What side of the fence does she sit?
Because Sasha's always Sasha's never been a good babyface. She's always been a better heel.
Yeah.
So,
but it's a weird spot because she can't really be the top heel on SmackDown with Charlotte being there.
I'm with you. I'm gonna spit the whole "we hate Mustafa Ali" because Mustafa Ali because his name is Mustafa Ali. I don't know.
I don't like the undertone. The undertone that's being presented. We hate
you because of your name and because of what your name is.
I'm not about it.
And I thought
I'm not about it.
I really thought that was something he wanted to try and stay away from. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not. And then everything Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin. I'm spitting that
trash. Fucking trash.
Spit anything else?
I'm not really feeling the whole Naomi Sonya Deville stuff because like it's Karen vibes off of Sonya Deville and not in a good way, man. It's like it's similar to like when Becky delivered that line about going back to the end of the line to Bianca.
Yes and no, because this is intentional. This is part of the feud, whereas Becky said that and it just kind of came off like you might not want to say that. Like,
I don't know. That's kind of like my whole thing, because I know we've been joking on the show this whole time, but Sonya has a track record on character on SmackDown to not being fair towards the African American wrestlers on the show. Yeah, Street Profits, Bianca Belair, and now Naomi.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's been a theme here. And I don't know if it's been intentional or an unwanted coincidence, regardless of the fact I don't like it.
I hear you on that. I'm not going to disagree. Yeah. I'm going to spit Roman not being on the show tonight.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? Like, how are you not going to give us a Roman Reigns? Just do like a fucking segment with him just chilling in his locker room. That's all I fucking need.
And that's going to lead us into our final segment tonight. So SmackDown overall, spit or swallow.
Just because I enjoyed King Xavier so much, I have to swallow the show.
Oh, I'm swallowing because of Shotzi.
Well, that's your reasons. It's not a. No. I'm not saying it's a bad reason, but I knew that was going to be your sole reason just because Shotzi got her shine.
The rest of the show could have been ass. I would have swallowed just for Shotzi. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I already knew where you were going with this. Mm. So I think it's safe to say that SmackDown is your show of the week.
No, it's not.
No? Okay. Well, no. What would you?
Halloween Havoc was the best show of the week.
Interesting. Can I nominate 205 Live?
No, you can't. Not. can I nominate a show we don't even cover or talk about? No, get the fuck out of here.
You know what, man? I'll lean in. Maybe it's the Halloween spirit. Maybe it's the fact that Toxic Attraction won all the titles. Maybe it's the fact that they're gonna be on the thumbnail. So, Halloween Havoc. NXT Halloween Havoc
fucking delivered.
Yeah, it was a good show. It was a really good show, except for Tony D'Angelo.
I hate you. So it. Today, well, not today anymore because it's now the 30th, but yesterday when we started recording this ish, it was Mike Willis's birthday, and he had actually requested a topic, and I told him, you know, well, we did two this month because we missed you last month, but if we can get it in, we'll get it in, and we got some time. I think we've only been running about an hour, just over an hour, so... He wanted us to talk about Roman Reigns being champion in his championship run. Last week, we talked about Bobby Lashley. So how do you feel about Roman Reigns as champion all this time, his feuds and what's been going on?
So here, I didn't want to bring this up because it's something I was going to actually do. I actually have a spit or swallow planned and a segment on Straight Talk dissecting fully the whole reign of Roman Reigns. So I kind of want to leave my thoughts for that. All I will say is that up until this point, there's been very few misses with the Roman Reigns, like title reign. Okay. I've been a fan of it. So like, I don't know if he'll be okay with waiting a bit until like I, I come out, but I do have something planned specifically for just the Roman Reigns title reign.
Well, there you go, Mike. So instead of a segment, you are going to have an entire show dedicated to the subject that you picked. Where
it's either going to be on Spit or Swallow or it's going to be on Straight Talk, but it's going to be a full 40 plus minute episode just dissecting the reign and where it's going to go leading forward. If you're okay with that.
If not,
let us know, man. If you're not okay with that, you want to see this on SmackDown Raw, then we can do it next week.
I'm okay with it. So cool. Technically it's totally up to me. It's my show and I'm the boss.
All right.
I'm good with that. I will say Roman has been fantastic. I don't know if all of his feuds have been top notch,
but yeah,
the character and what he's done has been fantastic, and I've loved what they've built with the bloodline. I do have gripes, so maybe you and I will get together and do that Spit or Swallow, and I can get more in depth on that Spit or Swallow as to what I did like and what I didn't like. So yeah, we'll do that. I got nothing else then.
No. So I guess per the
you've been missing time. There's nothing from last week you want to talk about, or
honestly, you guys did a fantastic job last week.
We didn't cover Saturday's Dynamite where Malakai Black lost to Cody and all that.
I didn't watch it, man. I wasn't on the show last week, so I didn't even bother watching it.
But technically, it would have been for this week if Dynamite was on Wednesday.
Yeah, I kind of realized that once I watched the episode last week. I'm like, damn, are we going to have to watch cover six shows?
I thought about making you do it, and then I was like, no, I won't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. There's a lot of good this week. A lot of street fights, unfortunately. Too many street fights. But yeah, man.
I'm not feeling toxic street fight. That wasn't working for me. So I'm gonna need
toxic to street fights is what I had pitched.
No, that was terrible. Like, you're better than that.
Attracted to the streets? I don't know, man. Don't put me on the spot. I'm not that kind of artist. We'll see what we come up with. I already have the thumbnail made. I just kind of waited for you to give me a title, so it's kind of like work with it.
Fair enough. Why don't you tell everyone where they can find you, seeing as you're not here all the time, so they might forget.
You can find me on all social media platforms at SCS Vince. No matter what Matt might want to pitch out there, I will not be changing that name or my social media handles. You can call me
SOS Vince.
You can call me SOS Vince, or as TC fondly put, SMS Vince, because my mobile internet connection is trash recently, which is why I'm going to be changing providers next month. It ain't it. It's just ain't it. But so at SCS Vince, Twitter and Instagram, go ahead and follow the show on at Smackin' Raw Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Matt runs the Twitter. I run the IG. I just recently did a shout out on my personal Twitter to Justin Jalen on the Beats for creating the intro song for Straight Talk. Fucking fantastic. And doing some solid numbers over there on YouTube as well. Go ahead and subscribe to us. Do we have the custom URL for YouTube? Is it youtube.com/creationworld?
Fuck if I know. It's my link tree. Go to linktree.com/creationworld.
Yeah.
Click on the YouTube link or on the Pornhub link.
Yeah. That. And also, before we do sign off, I do want to go ahead and give a special shout out. I already did a shout out, personal video shout out on the show's Instagram account, but on the show I want to go ahead and congratulate Dirty Heels Podcast for celebrating the 2-year anniversary. Shout out to Kofi Wheatston and Big Brother Bo, Good Brother Bove out there. Congratulations, guys, on 2 years. And like I said, hopefully we get you guys on the hub and make that collaboration and get you guys to make your Pornhub debut. So shout out to those guys.
Oh yeah. You guys can find me on Twitter at Matt Rithers, at MATTRIDDER. Also, facebook.com/group/SmackinRaw is where you guys can find us on Facebook. Creation World is the banner under which the Smackin' Raw podcast exists. You can find us on creationworld.com, facebook.com/creationworld, and the Creation World on Twitter and Instagram. That's T-H-E-C-R-E-A-T-I-A World. Also, tomorrow we are finally recording the first episode of Dungeons After Dark. It is actually coming. It is actually happening. It is going to come out. So if you want to see me and Travis and Mara and John play Dungeons and Dragons, if you're interested in that in any way, shape, or form, it's coming. So keep your eyes out for that as well. If Vince doesn't have any other hats to add to his collection or put on at this moment, for Daddy Delgado, I am the Warden Matt Ritter, the patron saint of podcasting. We are Smacking It Raw, the number one wrestling podcast on Pornhub.
Later, y'all.